I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Carver High. Our friend Matt is in here tonight for Mafia, who is dying of some kind of Pharrell-ammonia. It's like Pharrell-ammonia. He's got like a, yeah. He's got all that. Remember last night, Carver High? He sounded like he had something going. Like he was totally, sounded like a horse.
I thought that he just didn't have his voice or something. I didn't know that he was sick. Like you told me he's actually sick.
Well, I thought, you know, when we were at the engagement party on Saturday and he yelled, "Party naked!" really loud and the whole neighborhood shut down. I thought pretty much that might have been the vocal cord rip right there. He did a, you know, "Party naked!" And everybody jumped in the kiddie pool. The one they blow up with their mouth, though. They had, like, the rubber one in the yard with the dirty grass in it. It was awful. I wouldn't go near it. But I think that's where he got the pneumonia.
Not a good scene.
He's got a cough, a cold. He's got the whole thing going. Just can't breathe. Can't do anything. He's sick as a dog. And I'm like, don't even come near me. I told him today, don't even come to work. I don't want it. Don't come near me. But we have a game tomorrow night, a playoff game. It's huge. So Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network for a WNBA showdown as Red Hot Washington Mystics look to weather the storm when Seattle comes to town, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's, how about Bo Bichette of the Blue Jays? An extra base hit in his first 15 major league games. That is insanity. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. All right. We've had Alex Dono on about the Hurricanes. We've had Ron Cook on about the Pirates' problems and whether or not they'll be able to maintain their situation with Huntington and Hurdle and what their status is. This has all happened already. All of these things we've engaged in tonight. Now it's time for my friend Gerks is here. Mike Gurka from Chicago and his daughter Emma. Now, Gerks, where is Emma going to school, did you say? St. Thomas?
St. Thomas.
St. Thomas Aquinas of Los Angeles, or which one? Which St. Thomas?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
In St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, Emma, what year are you at St. Thomas?
Junior.
You're a junior, and you're studying journalism?
And broadcasting.
And broadcasting. So you want to be, do you want to be a news anchor or a sportscaster?
Sports presenter.
A presenter. What does that mean? You're going to do like...
snippets. It's like...
Oh, I see. Do you want... So you want to be on TV or on the radio?
TV.
You want to be on TV. Radio's too boring for you?
No, but...
She's got kind of a Pharrell voice going. She's got like the... She got a little raspy voice going.
She does know.
Maybe, Carver High, what do you think? She could fill in for me or something when I'm on vacation
but
surfing.
I can't yell as loud as you can.
Better than some of the impersonations that we get around here. So I guess it's better than that.
It is better than the impersonators that we have on here. They are, well, not better than Kale Burger.
No, Kale Burger was the best. That guy Kale Burger was unbelievable.
Kale Burger has set a bar so high for imitating Pharrell, it's not even funny. Gerks, how you been?
Oh, never better.
So tell me, your son is a pitcher for the Minnesota Gophers?
He's on his way.
So what does that mean? Like, he's on his way. Is he already on the team?
Well, he's an incoming freshman. So school starts in a couple weeks.
Oh, so he's on the he went there to Minneapolis in the Big Ten on a baseball scholarship.
That's correct.
Out of Chicago, where like
Joliet Catholic High School.
Joliet Catholic. That's where you went to high school.
Yes, it is. He transferred over there.
Now, the first radio talk show I ever did was at Joliet, Illinois. Wasn't it WCCQ in Joliet, Illinois?
Yes.
The first talk show I ever did, Carver High.
Unbelievable.
I went on the air in Chicago and took phone calls and talked about the Bulls. At that time, they were winning like championship. They had started winning all their championships.
Yes.
So I was doing radio in Joliet. The famous Joliet prison is there. Is that not accurate?
That is beyond accurate.
Is that still there, that prison?
The original prison is from the movie The Blues Brothers.
Right.
It goes back forever. And then since then, when it closed, it's now the correctional center called Statesville, which is where they fried.
No, wait. Is
Gacy.
That,
Gacy
they have a haunted
fried.
House.
That's
they
right. So wait
house.
A minute. Now, Statesville, on General Hospital, when they go to federal prison, don't they go to Statesville? When they, you know, when like the star of the show, like the woman gets sent away for murder and she ends up, she's getting 30 years and she leaves Port Charles to go to stay at Statesville with the mob and Sonny Corinthos. And then suddenly, 6 months later, she gets out because of a technicality.
Yes.
But is it Statesville is the prison, right?
It is. It's
Jesus.
Not pretty. It is not pretty.
So so he was at Joliet Catholic pitching.
Yes.
And the Big Ten came calling from Minneapolis. How is that possible that your kids are both going to school in Minnesota? How many kids do you have?
Four.
Four. Jesus. You didn't even tell me about the other two. Where are they?
The oldest is a graduate of Hope College in Holland, Michigan.
I know Hope. Isn't that like a is that like a Christian school?
It is. It is. And
the Lord.
And she's in
ministry. Right.
She's in
the Lord. Is that what she just said?
She's in ministry, Scott.
Do you get along with her?
So we will never let her near this
not
studio
really.
Ever.
Emma, what's the deal with you and your sister? She's a holy roller.
The oldest?
Is she the one that went to Hope?
The oldest gravitates towards the youngest, and then me and my brother get along.
All right. So the one that went to Hope is she a minister now?
She, well, yeah, she's on her way. Yeah.
All right.
Getting her graduate degree in theology.
Oh, really? That's pretty impressive. I live next door to the rectory, so my priest lives next door to me, and he comes over to my house and drinks Jameson and smokes reefer.
Well, yeah, that's not Emma and Abby, but, you know,
no.
it is oil
that's
and vinegar.
That's all right, though, but, you know, so, well... He's under a lot more stress than her based on the Catholic Church, I believe.
That is correct.
The influence from the Vatican is overwhelming, and it dictates everything I do here on the Vatican Network is also predicated out of Rome, what happens and how clean and classy we are.
That is
so the priests are under a lot of stress, and I think that that's why they hit the bottle. I think they like to have, you know, like when I go for communion every Sunday and I drink the blood of Christ, it's actually when the service is over, they're in the back drinking the rest of the wine.
Yes.
And smoking, right? I mean, are they not smoking?
So
what happened? Like they found him pitching at Joliet Catholic and they gave him a scholarship to Minnesota to pitch in the Big Ten. So he's going to be pitching against our Hoosiers.
He is, yeah.
But they have a good baseball program in Indiana.
Very good. Yeah,
they're not bad, right?
No,
they get to the tournament.
They've made the NCAA tournament, I think, three out of the last 4 years.
They're pretty tough.
They have not had a good round.
Well, what about Minnesota?
That.
How's their baseball program?
Tremendous. It's the winningest program in the Big Ten history.
Really?
They've won three national championships. They've got a coach, John Anderson, who's been there 38 years. He is a dean.
And your son's a pitcher.
He is.
So what is he, a lefty or righty?
Righty.
A righty.
Yeah.
So when you were when he was a kid... he was in Little League and things of this nature. Did you notice that he had talent, like real talent?
Yes.
At that age?
Yeah. One of the things we did was Mike liked to hit. He was a good hitter. But then, you know, travel baseball's where everything's at
right.
now. So he goes around the country and everything. But, like, when he was at that young age, he didn't like me for it. But I just said, Mike, you got to bat lefty. And he's like, but I'm not left-handed. I said, I know. You got to learn to struggle in the game because things are coming too easy. But he's a humble kid. He works his butt off. But he loves golf, too, and he's doing really well at that, but he's really looking forward.
So wait a minute. Does he golf on the golf team, too, at Minnesota?
Not at Minnesota, but he did in high school.
In high school, he did both.
Yes.
He did golf and baseball.
Yeah, Dad wouldn't let him play football for the state champions
did he,
again, we did.
But
yes.
Did he play basketball at all?
No, he didn't. He should have. He got a lot of grief from Kristen for that.
But he's a big kid. He's 6'2", what?
6'3", about 205, 210, depending on what day he eats too many ribs.
6'3", 205 already as an 18-year-old.
He just turned 18 this week.
So he's that kid's going to be huge because he hasn't even hit the weight room yet in college because high school is nothing compared to what they'll do in the Big Ten to him.
Correct.
The food and the training tables and the workouts, he's going to get even bigger. He's going to get ripped. He's going to be 240. I bet he's going to be 6'3", 6'4", 240 pitching. Like a monster.
One of the things about Minnesota
that's
really amazing is
if you get to 235, 240 at 6'3", as a pitcher, you're going to the major leagues.
That's heavy.
See, everyone thinks when you go to Minnesota, you're pitching in cold weather and no one wants to play there and they're okay. But what they do is they get the use of US Bank Field where the Vikings are. And they close that up and they have everyone from the Pac-12 to the ACC coming in. And it's a marquee place to be in February.
So is he
they don't
going,
miss anything.
He's going to school there free.
No, there's no such thing as a full ride for baseball.
Oh, really? What does that mean? So you have to pay half of it?
Yeah.
That sucks. And then you have to pay for her to go to school, too?
Yeah, she's St. Thomas. It's worth every penny. Huh?
Do you do sports, too, Emma?
I did. I was going to play soccer, but then I got injured.
What happened? What injury? Knee?
Ankle.
Oh, an ankle. What'd you do? Roll your ankle?
Broke it.
You broke it? Playing soccer?
No.
How'd you break it? At a keg party? Running from the popo?
No, but I have a history of falling down the stairs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mike, have you been throwing the kids down the stairs again at the
He witnessed the
after
first
another
one.
Bears after the guy hit the double doink off the crossbar and the upright? Was that another Emma fall down the stairs?
There's a certain
hypothetically,
sound she makes and you know exactly
we're just kidding.
What it is.
We're joking.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, so you broke your ankle at your house. And that was the end of you?
No.
So when you broke your ankle and you stopped playing sports, that's when you got into broadcasting. How's the broadcasting going for you? Do they put you on TV at St. Thomas?
Well, there's clubs and stuff. And I was, involved in, Tommy Media. And I was a photographer for, a second.
Right.
And they do, these talk shows, but, I'm not really interested in them. They're kind of, talk about boring stuff.
Boring.
But, it's boring.
Will you go to Minneapolis to, party with your brother at some point this year?
If he parties.
If he does. Oh, because he's so athletic that he doesn't party or have fun? He's not allowed to have fun? Is that what it boils down to? When you're an athlete, you're not allowed to have fun?
I mean, from what he's told me, it's all baseball.
How many people go to school at St. Thomas? 3,000, 5,000?
So undergraduate, it's about 8,000. Then graduate and undergraduate, it's 11.
Okay, so it's fairly decent small school.
Oh, great size.
Do you like it there?
Love it.
How did you pick St. Thomas of all places in the world? Why didn't you did you think about going somewhere in Illinois or something like that?
So I went to I started my freshman year at University of Milwaukee
for
the first semester. Then I came home because I hated it. It was the most depressing school on this planet.
Well, good evening, Milwaukee. We love you. We love your school. It's a great school. We're big fans.
Horrible, horrible. And then
I love it there.
Go
great people.
Go Warriors.
And then,
a big Warrior fan, aren't you?
I forever.
Yeah, that place is a dead
Why town. Do you like them so much?
Marquette?
Yeah.
That's my school. Because
the drinking age was 18 when
is
you
that
went
where
to
you went
college.
To? You
yes.
went to Marquette,
yes,
and
I
went to Indiana with Herdrick.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, you did.
So did you know, so people have no idea who I'm talking about at this point. My friend was a financier in Chicago, right? He was doing
Board of Trade.
The Board of Trade and at the Mercantile.
Yes.
So he worked at both, right? And you did too.
Yes.
And then that's how you met him, right?
Yep, we worked together, same company.
Same company forever. And then he ended up leaving and moving to North Carolina. Now, when he went to work there, he was working at Merrill Lynch, and he was handling my money.
Yeah.
He was doing everything. He's not even doing that anymore. Did you know that?
I did not know.
He's not even in the business anymore, from what I know. Because, he left Merrill, and I have someone else now. I don't even know the guy. He's probably stealing all my money. It's just a fantastic arrangement that I have.
Oh.
All right, so when we come back, I want to talk, and I'm going to take calls, Buffalo, et cetera. Hang in. I want to talk to you about the Bears and frankly, some other things as well in Chicago. The Cubs are in a great race in the Central. Are you still a Cubs fan?
I my wife loves them, so I watch
Are you a
them.
White Sox fan?
White Sox and Brewers.
White Sox and Brewers. So you're still big on Milwaukee in general?
Just the Brewers.
Just the Brewers are your team.
Yep.
So screw the Cubs.
Well,
you're rooting for the Brewers to win the Central.
Hey,
always.
Hey.
And
yes.
What are you?
I'm a lover of Chris Bryant just because he's fun
so
to
So you like
at.
The Cubs. She wants to have an affair with Chris Bryant. It's all happening here tonight on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I'm talking to my friend Mike Gerga. So Mike used to be on CNBC a lot back in the day. He's a financial guy from Chicago, and I knew him when I lived in Chicago and worked at Sports Channel and everywhere else. I worked in bars. Remember, I worked in nightclubs, yep. At Navy Pier. I bartended. I bounced. I did the Blackhawks, the White Sox. I did everything in Chicago. I had multiple lovers at the same time. I'll never forget a girlfriend of mine set all my clothes on fire on Melrose Avenue in Chicago. When I pulled up to the building, all my stuff was coming out the window on fire, which was it was like Christmas. It was June. And it looked like Christmas, you know, with all the lights and everything. And there were so many wonderful, it was a beautiful night. And all the fire coming out of the building was just, it was so beautiful. Except that it was all of my possessions that were on fire. And then that pretty much was, I think, the end of the road show. She ended up like sleeping she ended up with one of my buddies. So I was with her for a while. Do you remember that chick? She was wild. And I mean to tell you, this girl is a rock star. And then she ended up with one of my buddies and they were like, you know, I guess doing it behind my back or something. I'm like, I'd already left. My stuff was on fire. So I didn't care who she ended up with after she tried to kill me.
Ashes.
You know, I moved to Florida. You remember? And then I did, yep. I did the Sarah Sox.
Yep.
And then Jerry Reinsdorf fired me in the fifth inning in the middle of the game and told me to get out because I was like drinking in the press box and doing Harry Carey, singing songs and stuff. I would later do the same thing for the Thrashers, yep. In the NHL. Yeah. I would sing in the press box, yep. And bring beers and get in all kinds of trouble with management. You know, me and Suits don't get
along
too well.
First year of the Thrashers, wasn't it?
First year.
First year.
Expansion year. So let's talk about your Bears.
Yes.
Now, how do you think Mitchell will do, Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears? I thought the Bears were a really good football team last year, 12-4, and then their kicker cost them the
yeah, the feeling still is back in Chicago that they were, you know, a field goal away from winning it all because they thought they would have kept going. The magic of winning it on defense alone is not what the NFL is about, but they definitely had the players to do it, right? And Philly got lucky.
Do you think they'll – I bet on Philly that day.
Aware of that one.
But do you think that they'll, you know, ever live it down? Like, so I've always said the Falcons will never live down that 25-point loss in the Super Bowl when they're up 25 at the half and you lose. You never live it down. I don't care who you are. People will never forget that you choked. Will people forget that the Bears choked because of their kicker?
No.
Will they recover from that and get back? Like, because I think the Saints have had two in a row, the Viking game and then the Ram game. Yep. They've been shafted twice in a row.
Right.
A lot of people, including ESPN today, was saying that Drew Brees is essentially on the other side of the mountain and going downhill now, and he's going to get old real fast, which is a dangerous prediction because that guy can still play.
You can read it.
I think they're a dangerous football team.
Agreed.
Are the Bears a dangerous football team because of that defense and that they won 12 games? Can they do it again?
Absolutely have the talent to do it. Scott, the difference is simply, as smart as you are in knowing this, they don't have last year's schedule. And that's why it's going to be different. They don't. They had the best schedule last year to set them up for that. They have the defense, but I'll tell you, if Mitch can find out what to do on third down, they can advance. They've got the players, but when you're pitching out one of your starting running backs and you're trying to fill a hole here and there, they've got athletes. They clearly got a coach who's a gunslinger, and personally, I love it. But it's going to be a tough year for the Bears, but I think they're going to answer the call.
Could you even believe that they got their hands on Khalil Mack? And how much do you, compare him to the great linebackers that have played for the Bears?
I think he's got the ability to do more than the great linebackers from the Bears because he's a dual threat. He can play down as a defensive lineman as an end, but he's still truly a linebacker. It seems to me, as a novice from watching the game for so many years, that he doesn't mind the cold, which you have to do in Chicago. He's definitely rallying the troops. But if he stays healthy, he's a leader, and I think that team will rally behind him all day long.
So I went to the 85 Super Bowl with my dad.
I was there.
And that was the greatest team I've ever seen defensively. I'm talking about the Steelers won with the Steel Curtain. 4-4, 4-6 years, 4 trips, 4 wins with that defense. And they also had Bradshaw and Stallworth and Swan and everything, but it was really the defense. But I thought the Bears in 85, and remember the other day the USA Today said they were the greatest team ever, but a lot of people mocked that. I refuse to mock that. I really believe that when I saw that team play in the playoffs and before the playoffs, that in the playoffs, every quarterback they faced was scared to death.
Absolutely.
For their life.
Yep.
They were scared to play football on that day because they knew that they were going to get ragdolled by that defense. There were quarterbacks running literally for their life.
They were. Absolutely. And
was that the best team you ever saw?
Without question. In 86, the following year should have been the same thing. Should have been. But you know what? I mean, you lost two of your best defensive players to holdouts, and they had that kind of effort, which you bring them back the next year, it should have just repeated. The question is, how do you ever try to come to yourself thinking, will that ever happen again? Because people are still talking about it. But you know what? Buddy Ryan was the guy to do it. Ditko was, without a doubt, just the most clueless coach I've ever seen. It got all the glory, and he's just clueless.
So wait a minute. You thought that you're telling me that you think he wasn't a good coach, Mike Ditka?
Oh, he could manage players.
But you thought he was overrated as a coach?
X's and O's.
So you
no,
think,
not a sniff.
So wait a minute. You just told me that Buddy Ryan deserves the credit for the 85 Bears and not Mike Ditka?
Well, I mean.
I mean, I think they both did.
They both did.
I refuse to.
I think he's just overrated.
No, I refuse to accept that.
I'm sorry.
Carver High.
I'm a huge Ditka fan.
Are you going to tell me that Mike Ditka couldn't coach?
I think that what he's saying, there's some things you can look at and agree with. He was a player's guy. He was good with the players.
Yeah. Right.
He motivated the players. The thing is, maybe he wasn't the best X's and O's. I mean, everybody always says he's not the first one to say that, you know, Ryan was the guy that was the X's and O's behind that Bear defense. Ditka wasn't an offensive mind, you know.
Well, didn't Buddy Ryan go coach the Eagles or something?
Yes.
And then he was terrible.
Yeah.
But I have to say, let me just say this. I thought Mike Ditka, and just on top of coaching, was the most colorful.
Yes.
There was a lot of personalities on that team, too. A lot of big personalities.
Who was more demonstrative and colorful in coaching besides, like, is it Ditka or was it Bill Parcells? I mean, he was the most, I mean, crazy. Are you right over there, Emma?
I'm great.
I mean, sorry.
It's my bad.
You sound like you've been hanging out with Mafia.
I'm starting to sound like you a little
You got
bit.
A little action going over there, Emma. She's coughing like Mafia. Are we going to have to shut her down because she's been around Mafia's germ warfare? All right, here's what we're going to do. Is this guy, because he's waited so long. Hold on. John in Buffalo, real quick. Sorry about that, dude. You've been on hold so long, your girlfriend cheated on you twice.
Yeah, man, it's all right. I'll take it to talk to Pharrell, no problem.
Your Blue Jays, Bo Bichette, I gave him the Granger Player of the Week. Did you like that? Oh, that went well. He just gave up after all of that. He sat on hold for an hour and a half to just say that he got on with me, I guess. That made his day. Anyway, we'll come back and have more of this conversation. I just heard it here tonight. Mike Gurka of Chicago just said that Mike Ditka couldn't coach. It's all happening now right here on the bench. It's all happening. It's all kind of rolling out, and it's just coming out like in droves.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, who's the best football handicapper? Pharrell, that's who. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all, the college and pro plays that you need all season long. And I hit. That's all that matters. I hit more than everybody. They all rip you off. I don't. My site's kick-ass, PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's the cheapest. It's the best. I make people fat stacks. Sign up. Hide the cash from your wife. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. I just wanted to say really quickly that I'm going to go to Vegas in on the 25th, right? I'll be there live from the 26th through the 31st at the D Casino down on Fremont Street for their fantasy blowout college football opening week and Circus Sports. I'm going to actually, Carver High, for your grace and honor, I'm going to bet on every single college football game, baseball game, Premier League game, and preseason NFL game while I'm there, literally hundreds of bets every day.
That's good to hear. I'm glad you're going to be able to keep things going while I'm not with you.
I'm very saddened by the fact that you won't be there.
Yeah, you know what? I've been with you the last, I think,
two
or three D trips. Like, it's been a while since Mavi's gone on a D trip, and I feel like the people in that establishment, they're going to miss me. They're going to be happy to see Mavi, but they're going to miss that That little something extra that I bring.
That level of alcoholism and partying that you bring to the...
I bring so much to the table. Like, the bartenders in there are going to miss me.
They all know you by name.
The dealers, the pit bosses, the people in that
place. You drink and gamble more than mafia.
Well, that's probably why they like having me there.
But, I mean, that's true. It's just true.
You can
admit
this. He
drinks beer, but he you know, enjoys beer. He's like the IPA guy. You're the guy that pounds beer.
I drink to get drunk. Like, I don't drink.
You don't drink to taste it.
No, exactly. But you'll admit that when I'm in there, like at that long bar over there, like I bring another level, whether it's
different level.
Whether it's the outfits or whether it's what's going on. Like, there's always
the whole thing, the blazers.
Yeah, I draw a crowd.
You're a scene.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like that guy. I don't know who's bigger there. You or Horny Mike. You know what I mean? Like, you and him are celebrities.
I feel like the first couple
there.
Times we went, he was ahead of me. But now, like, these last couple trips, like, when I walk in that place now, there's, like, it's a little bit.
It's a different level.
Higher. Yeah.
It's a different level. So, Mavi and I will be out there the 26th through the 31st. Make sure you come out and see us in the View Bar every night at 7 Vegas time, 10 East, right on CBS Sports Radio. And you can listen on the network, on affiliates, and on radio.com, or even ask Alexa. Play CBS Sports Radio, and it'll all work. And we're also on Sirius XM, so it's everywhere. So check us out in Vegas, and if you want, come by and see us. John in Buffalo, he's called back. It was an accidental hang-up.
Yeah, brother. Just first of all, I want to thank you for taking my call the other night about the NFL tailgate safety conversation.
Right.
You know, that's why you're the best, man. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, but it's an important discussion, so props to you, brother.
I think it is a very dangerous place to be, and no one wants to admit that or talk about it. Nobody wants it to happen, obviously. I don't either, but I've never seen anything like the gathering of 50, 60 to 100,000 people to drink for 5 hours, 6 hours, and there's no literally, I mean, you could drive a tank in there with nuclear weapons, and they wouldn't be able to stop you. I mean, what do they do? Like, search every car? What is this, the border in Toronto with dogs underneath and mirrors? I mean, what, they just, at a football game in college or pro, anywhere you go, it's just a party. And they, you know, can you imagine, like, Oxford, Miss, or wherever, Ann Arbor, South Bend, wherever you go, 60,000 people partying in a parking lot. They're all drunk, and all it takes is these lunatics. Nowadays, I'm scared to death. I don't want to be anywhere near 50,000 people because bad things happen. The bigger the crowd, the more chance you have of bad things happening. Here's me. I'm at home watching a game on TV with a bag of popcorn and a hot wife shakeout. Ooh.
Tijuana, you know? But I just want to talk about the Blues.
I've done a lot of drugs in Tijuana. Are we live? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, they got a pretty good young core up there in Toronto, the Blue Jays, too. I just want to know, what are your thoughts on the rebuild? They got a lot of good young players, but, you know, they're still losing games. They're still pretty, you know, they're getting used to things.
Well, they're young, but they're, you know, the future is bright for sure. You cannot have Vladdy and this kid, Bichette, and not expect something good to happen in the next 5 years. I think that it will happen. And, you know, if they get the pitching, because they got rid of Stroman, they obviously didn't believe in him. They gave him to the Mets, basically. He was up there overrated, right? He was, I think, you know, as advertised, some flashy pitcher, this great pitcher, allegedly, and he never amounted to that in Toronto. If they can get the pitching, they've already got the lineup. They got the team, but they don't have the pitching. So, I mean, am I wrong? That's their problem. So I would think that if they can get in line with some arms, with those bats, that they'll be in the playoffs. So it's that simple. Mark in Miami, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, bro, what's up? Can I get a Corona?
Yeah, man. I got you. There you go.
Thanks, man. I just want to talk about a story I heard earlier today. I'm sure everyone remembers the NCAA and the quote-unquote Rich Paul rule from, what was it, like last week?
Right, right.
And I heard today that the NCAA is, like, caving in. They're saying that the rule is now optional because of all the criticism they're getting. I mean, yeah, it was ridiculous to begin with, but if you're going to make the rule, I mean, you got to stick with it. I mean, if a lot of people have been successful without a college degree, but, I mean, like I said, that doesn't mean that
Let's just get down to the bottom of this. Simple. They came out with these rules, and the whiplash they got from their rules was so bad. They got bombarded with nothing but 100% negativity and that they're absolute a bunch of morons. They got abused for their short-sighted thinking and their stupid rules, and everyone in the business, every player, every agent, everyone, everywhere said that it wasn't going to work, and they all, you know, cried, what is going on here? And then, like, 2 days later, they reversed it and dropped the bachelor's degree thing. I think that, you know, for me, the Rich Ball thing is, you know, congratulations, they named it after you. But I think it's all overblown. Like, the entire thing's about him, and he's the only person that matters in the world. I thought that the whole thing was kind of nonsense. And now it's the same as always. Look, the game is changing. There are going to be, it would appear to me, more and more kids going to play overseas or down under or wherever they can play and make money. It's happening more and more than, frankly, going to college for 1 year and not going to class and just going so you can go pro. I think that you're seeing more and more, even, what was his name, Al Harrington bought a team in Australia. He's like, come play for me and you'll get into the NBA. And then, you know, you'll get paid. So if you're a kid and someone's offering you a couple hundred grand to come play basketball for 4 months in Europe or down under, wherever it is, and you can actually take care or help your family who's poor or whatever, has nothing, no food on the table, and your entire life you've been in the hood struggling or whatever, and all you ever wanted was to get a full ride to college and then go to the NBA and get paid and then take care of mommy and your little brothers and sisters, why wait? Why wait to do that when it's sitting on the table for you right now? And you can go, look, you can make fun of Bar or whatever his name is, Ball, whatever, LeVar Ball, you want. Those kids went to Lafayette, whatever, and now and then they went like down under, right, and they're playing. That kid, LaMelo's getting, he's making it to the NBA. Like, he's already on the board as one of the, you know, best players in the world right now that is going to get drafted, that he can, you know, the kid can flat out score and play and do everything. But my point is that more and more kids are doing this. They're going to play wherever and, frankly, wherever they can make money. So the whole thing about agents and everything else, listen, they're corrupt as far as I'm concerned. The whole thing is corrupt. The whole system is corrupt. We already know. Did the FBI not prove that half of the schools are paying players anyway? They'll do anything to get them to go there. They'll pay anything. They'll pay their families hundreds of thousands of dollars to get the kid to go there. Kid doesn't even want to play for you. It's just that you're paying his family cash. That's what's been going on. So I think everyone's corrupt in the NCAA, the agents, the players, their families, their dads, their uncles, their moms. They're all corrupt. I'd rather just send my kid to somewhere I'm going to get paid. And it's legit. Like, here, 200 grand to play for a year. There you go. Boom. And the kids can do whatever he wants with it. And then he can still go pro. But all these rules about agents and Rich Ball and everything else, you can do whatever you want. The NCAA is still going to have the same problems it's always had, is players, you know, that are getting, you know, illegally recruited and paid to play at these schools. You can't deny that it's happening. I mean, we just had this gigantic case where all these kids were getting paid to play. And it got Aiden, all of them. Now he's in the NBA. He doesn't even care. What does he care that his family was getting paid when he was there, right? So it is what it is. So let me ask you this question, Gerks. Gerks is in here from Chicago. So we were talking about Mike Ditka, and you think he should have won more Super Bowls and everything else. When you see their quarterback now, their coach now, compared to what it used to be, do you remember, can you imagine McMahon and Ditka as to what you have now? What is it, Nagy and Trubisky? You can't even fathom that.
No, it's a whole different world. Absolutely.
Who else do they have that gets you excited on this team? How did they win 12 games? I mean, is it Gabriel? Why are they so good?
Well, it's a revolving door at tight end. It's close to workmanship at the running back position, which in the NFL now, it's how your receivers are, right? So the game's changed. You're throwing the ball more. If you have a platoon system of guys that'll go over the middle, take the biggest hits possible, move the chains, that's how the game works. It's just, it's a whole different world. Speed kills, defenses adapt. It's just beyond exciting to watch the game.
So they have Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith. I like him out of Georgia. They got him last year, right, as draft pick. Mm-hmm. Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks on the left side. Great linebackers. Trevathan, they got out there. They like him. Obviously, they got Prince Amukamara. He was here. He was awful. Now, all of a sudden, he's playing ball. But you think they'll win the division again?
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll win the division again. So you knew that the 30 for 30 is coming out about the Bulls next year. It's going to be about – it's a 10-part series about the Bulls. Can you believe that? I've never seen them do a 10-part series.
No, and that just shows you the content they have, the adoration of the teams, the success they had, and then the stories of the individual players.
It's
and
just
how
about
they,
Michael.
It, well, yeah, but what they had to do with him. So, I mean, they had to own up to him. That's why the team worked. I mean, it wasn't just like throw Mike the ball and watch him take over. He would eat them alive if they didn't do their jobs. So that was the story.
So Rodman is getting his own 30 for 30 coming out September 10th. What did you think of watching him defend and rebound?
He had one job. That was it. That was it. And he did it better than anybody. And he could, he could literally, he was put on this earth to time the arc of a ball and know where it was coming back.
But did you, have you ever seen anything like the attention that guy got in Chicago?
No. No, it was a magnet.
His popularity.
Yep. It was remarkable.
And what about, there was any of them, did Kerr get that kind of love? He never got that kind of love.
No, God, no.
But he
no.
could shoot.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he filled the role that Paxton left after he was gone. And, you know, not that B.J. Armstrong or any of those other players had the same role, but spot-up shooters, and it was just, it was like putting a puzzle together.
I got 30 seconds. Do you think the Blackhawks can get back to winning? Because you think the Bulls now are a joke.
They are.
And the franchise is a joke, but what about the Blackhawks?
I think the Blackhawks are trying to adapt to a league that has just gotten so fast. I don't want to say they changed the rules that way, but the Blackhawks, they just watched the league change the rules almost to the point where they had to adapt.
How do you think Notre Dame will do this year after that season they had last year?
It's going to be ugly again.
Do you like the Irish at all? Or
well,
who do you root for in college football?
I've been a UCLA fan because they're
Jeez,
horrible.
That's embarrassing.
They're horrible.
Hey, Gerks, it's great to see you, brother. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Love it. Thank you, Scott.
Emma, good luck the rest of your college at St. Thomas.
Of course.
All right, there you go. Pharrell on the bench.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.